Good morning. Good to be home. Wow, what a weekend we had. Okay, I want to thank Marie and Rocky and Bonnie and... No, never mind. I'll start over here. I want to thank... No. Thank you. Thank God. What a lectureship we had. Were you not amazed at how many prayers were answered? Were you not amazed at how much encouragement was distributed? We have an awesome God. Thank you, Rocky. Your Bible's up here, Robert. Oh, that's where it is. Songbook, Bible. We were blessed last weekend specifically by our God answering and listening to your prayers. Your work was multiplied by God multiplying your efforts. Isn't it amazing how he does that? You come and look for a good thing to do, even if it's, I don't want to say just, but even if it's just giving somebody a hug or a warm greeting. And when somebody else sees you giving that warm greeting, they're blessed by it. And as they're blessed and lifted up, then the people that they're with are blessed and lifted up. And then it multiplies. Your love, your devotion to God, your joy, your devotion to one another, your serving the church around the state is now being multiplied. As back home, congregation after congregation are telling their members how they were blessed last weekend. And you'll say, I didn't do much. All I did was help with the children's classroom. All I did was set up a few chairs. All I did was bring some food. You see how it works together? Thank you. And if you praise God with that, you will continue to be blessed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, there's so many needs. There's so many things going on. I'm looking down at Lauren and Penny like they didn't even leave. Welcome home. Appreciating Ben's standing up here and Danny being with us, and it kind of feels like they haven't left, but I know they're about to take off again. We have the blessing of having the Burgers with us down from Fairbanks. He served as elder there for years upon years upon years, and he's now meeting with us just this morning. I guess they're traveling through or enjoying a little bit of a visit of family. But it's good to have the Burgers with us this morning. And on it goes. There are so many things going on and so many needs. And I think I've told you before, but sometimes I can't imagine the next lesson I'm going to teach. I kind of go blank. And I have to go back to the Word and go back in prayer and really think about it. But sometimes, like now, I'm awash in lessons. I got lessons in every elbow and every fingertip. I've got so many things that we need to talk about. And I'm excited about that, but I can't talk about everything. I want to thank Bill for the work and service that he's given the church in every direction, but especially as I've been busy and pulled away and doing other things. Thank you, brother. and 100 other things that I can't mention. Thanks to all of you. I want to talk about knowing God better and letting our lives praise Him in real and fundamental ways. I want to talk about the truth and assurances of doctrine, of what our church needs to be doing, of why we're organized the way we are and how we can improve things, of why we pattern ourselves the way we are and maybe how we can improve that, and how much we need to hold to the Word. I want lessons on that. I need lessons on that, and I want us to talk about lessons on that. I want to talk about the reality of evil around us and of Satan and Satan's temporary victories, like the horror that happened this week down in Virginia. I don't want to talk about that, but we need to talk about the reality of evil and how one victory in one life can have so much horror and devastation. I want to talk about the use of our blessings. We have a project going on. We have, Lord willing, we'll be clearing land and building a building just up the road. You know we've been praying about that. We've been talking about that. We've been meeting on that. But this is the time for us to gather together our resources. We said 2007 is the year. And there are three basic ways to do that. And CB and I have a list to lay out before you. But I want to have a lesson connected to that list about how to bring our monies together. Basically, we can do it now. We can look into our bank accounts. We can look into our contribution. We can evaluate our contribution against the 10% standard and go up from there. We can say, I don't need that trip this year, and I'm going to give what it would cost that trip to the building fund. Or we don't need a new vehicle. I'm going to pay off the old one and give that to the building fund, what I would have been paying for a new vehicle, or whatever it might be. You can do those things now. Or you can do kind of a midterm plan and or. The stock market is up. In fact, it hit a record this past week. If you have stocks and your prayers before God move you in that direction, you pick a time, you sell them, and you give that to the Lord, to the church, to build a new building. In the first century church, they went out and sold their own property. And this would be a good time to do that. You could look at your own home. Interest rates are still low after years and years. And you could refinance and pull some money out of that and give. And for all Alaskans, and one of the things we want to encourage you is, as we talked about last year, is you can just pretend the PFD doesn't exist. You know I don't like the subject of money, don't you? I'm perspiring even as I say this. But the early church was blessed in the collection of their monies. And it is a proper thing to talk about. So even though I don't like it, and I'd rather be talking about other things, so we pretend the PFD doesn't exist. And you don't plan that money and how you're going to spend it now. That it all goes. You settle in your mind. They've canceled the program, however you want to do it, and you settle in your mind that that money collectively goes toward the building of a new building for the Lord's church here. Think about the multiplication of the gospel in this community and what you have already done across the state of Alaska and around the world, and how the collection of that money can make that more and more multiplied. Or long-term. Long term would be things, I just learned this week that there's a change in the tax law for any of you who are who don't want to take, for example, IRA distributions because of what a lot of reasons, tax reasons and such. The IRS is now allowing you to turn those immediately over to a non-profit organization with no tax implications. In other words, where you normally would have had to pay tax on the income of that money, you can now contribute it directly, and you don't have to. Or, if you want to talk about real long-term, you can change your will. Isn't that a cheerful thought? You can change your will. And we've already received a gift, I told you last year. A pretty substantial gift from somebody who put it in their will to give to the Valley Church. We need to be bold and courageous about collecting our resources together. And we need a lesson on this. But that's not what we're going to talk about this morning either. There are so many lessons we need, and yet I'm so pulled. I have been constantly pulled back and back and back to the lesson I've got today. We talked a little bit about it Wednesday night, but I want to go back to building up and strengthening our families. I want to go back and reestablish the foundational needs of us having families and homes dedicated to God. But before we do that, let's go to Him in prayer. Father God, we praise You and thank You. How can we praise You enough for the blessings You've given us? You have rewarded us richly over and over and over again. Father, we pray that indeed, the building of the new building can be something that glorifies You at every step of the way. We can imagine, we can vision what the church would be like with more serving ministries, with more Bible classes available to the community, with a bigger preaching school, with more going out into the state of Alaska, and more touching this community, and more serving this community. But Father, we know that that's just the longer-term blessings. We want to know what the short-term blessings are also as we unify ourselves and grow in faith and courage. Please help us, Father. Please help me and CB to know how to lead and organize us into a body effectively in Your hands, planning and building for the future. Father, we don't want to focus on the physical or the monetary at all, but on Your glory and on Your growth, and we trust You. Please help us in all of our plans, especially now in this lesson, that You can speak to us through Your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last verse of the Old Testament, for those men who were able to, that's a hint, go to Malachi, turn to the last page of the Old Testament. The last verse of the Old Testament. I know Rick can quote it, but most of the rest of us can't. So I can't quote it, right? You got it, Rick?
Nope.
Rick says it wasn't the truth. The last verse in the Old Testament. It's an interesting verse. Those men here who were blessed enough to be in the devotional that we had last Sunday morning out at Colony High School. By the way, didn't they do a great job supporting us? Make sure you're in your words. You get the word back to Colony or however you touch them or Nana Corporation for the service they gave us. But last Sunday morning, early, a nice group of men, about 50 of us, were together, and Bill led us in a devotional that started in this verse. I'll start in the second to the last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi 4, chapter 5. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. The completion of this promise, of this prophecy, is given to us in Luke chapter 1 with John the Baptist. John says, I'm the one. I came. As he prepares the way of Christ, he's preparing for this reunion. He's preparing us for this reunion of fathers and children. Last Wednesday night, we looked at Galatians chapter 4. I'd like you to turn there, if you would. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. It is such a blessing. It is such a blessing to know God as Father. It is really thrilling. And several times in Scripture, most specifically Romans 8 and here in Galatians 4 in the New Testament, Jesus refers to it. But in these two passages, we're given that in a real close way. The word Abba is used. And Abba is that familiar connection. It's your dad. It's your father. Not a distant person who might have caused your birth, but the guy you go fishing with. The guy that wakes you up in the morning when you sleep in too late. That's never happened to you guys, right? The guy who keeps your car running and pays the bills. I know, I've told you this before, but man, I never was in so much trouble as when my dad came into to darken the door of my bedroom and his glasses were like this. If my dad came up to the door of my room and his glasses were down his nose and he was looking at me over his glasses, he'd caught on to something I did wrong. And I was in trouble. But you know what I remember about that guy most? That's how much he loved me. I remember arguing it with him once about how much we needed a car, a new car. We had this old Pontiac. The Pontiacs, you guys may not be there, but the rest of you might. The Pontiacs that had the big bulbous nose of a grill. Remember that time in the 60s, that big funny thing stuck out of the front of the Pontiacs? We had one of those. Yeah. And that was not a cool thing to go pick up your date in.
So I would argue with my father how much we needed a new car. I was passionate about this. It did not look, it didn't matter how much I washed that thing, it still looked ugly. And going to pick up some nice young lady in that big ugly car, clean or dirty, didn't matter, it was ugly.
Dad, we have to get a new car. Right, I argued mileage and whatever else I argued. And he turned to me and said, "No, Robert, the only thing I have to do is get you boys the best education I can." Dad, how do you argue with that? He changed the subject. He knocked me over with practical care. He didn't give me something to argue back against. Abba, Father. We have with our God a God, and in that a God who's Father, who is Dad. And in that relationship, as we understand Dad stuff, then we understand better God's love, His devotion to us. I heard a radio broadcaster this week talk about a parent protecting their child's life with their own. How much a parent would naturally throw themselves in harm's way to protect a child. And he said, that's not being a hero. There's nothing heroic about that. That's just a dad being a dad. That's just a mom being a mom. Now, if somebody throws himself in harm's way for somebody else's child, that might be heroic. But for your own child, that's just natural. That's just natural. You die for your child. And you don't understand that really until you're there holding that little baby. And then you're there watching them graduate from high school. A couple of bumps in between, but you'd still die for them. That's just natural. You're devoted to them and their life and their care. And as we see that, we understand God better. As we see His protection, we understand. As we see our protection, we understand His protection better. As we go through our levels of care for our children, we understand God's levels of care for us. When we go through our forgiveness over and over and over and over and over again for our children, we understand God's forgiveness over and over and over and over again for us. And where Galatians 4, verse 7 ended up, we are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. The end of the matter is you inherit the life and blessings of your parents. And with God, we inherit His blessings. Because He wants us with Him, and His blessings are eternity in heaven. His blessings are magnificently eternal, infinite. That's what I want to say. Magnificently infinite. But all of it is based on this father-child relationship, this parent-child relationship. When we look at Scripture, we are touched and challenged by fathers courageous enough, like Joshua, in Joshua 24, who stand up and say, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. And he concludes that by saying, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We want fathers today.
There's a lot going on in that passage. You ever stood up and made a decision for your family and said, all right, we're going to go do this. And they all went out the side door and did something else? Hello, where'd everybody go? There's a presence
and a leadership quality about Joshua who stands up and makes a stand for his family. And you read there and get the sense that his family's all standing behind him. He can make that statement. The faith and the statement he makes is going to affect the faith of everybody standing behind him. You see that in Scripture between people as they come to the Lord. Acts 16, there's Lydia. Her and her household were baptized. There's the jailer. Him and his family were baptized into Christ. In Acts 18, there's Crispus and his family, the synagogue ruler. He and his family are baptized into Christ. You get the sense that there are families that are following their fathers. They're following their parent. They're following by faith and by action toward God. They're following. And we see in Joshua a man who makes a choice for his family. We need to have families that are like that today, where the parents know where they're going, and they stand up and make decisions about where they're going and lead their families there. Mothers like Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, she's greatly distressed at not being able to have a child in verse 10, and we read, she prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she made a vow, verse 11, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but give your maidservant a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. We want mothers and to help encourage mothers who can and will make statements like that. That their choice for their children is that they will be owned by God all the days of their life. We need to be encouraging and building and helping families like that. You see, there's a lot of things going on when we have families like that. First of all, we understand God better. We have families like that, we will understand, and children will more naturally react to God better. Second, we will be growing leaders in the church, both in our children and in our dads and in the men of the church. It is not a casual statement or a side issue. In fact, it's the one highlighted in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications of an elder and of a deacon. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, an elder must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? It is not an incidental or side issue for us to have strong families, parents who know how to lead and make faith decisions for their families. And down a few more verses, a deacon, verse 12, must be the husband of but one wife and manage his children and his household well. It's part of being a man. It is part of understanding God. And it is absolutely part of leading his church. We need to be helping build families that way. One, so we can understand God better. Two, so we can bring our children up in the Lord. 3, so that we can have leaders in the church. And 4, so that we can help one of the greatest needs our society has, and that is a tax on the family. Families being weakened, the family center being crumbled under attacks from every direction. Attacks on time, attacks on the unity of marriage, attacks on the definition of family, attacks by the world, attacks by attention, attacks by I could go on and on, but by every direction. I have a vision for the church here. I have a vision. I can imagine the day when every week, all the way around the year, we're having a class here at our building for parents and families. I can think of 5 different subjects right now. The basic ones are marriage, a marriage class. Because you don't offer children much without a mom and a dad who are solidly loving one another. So a marriage class, so that we can have solid, strong marriages. 2nd would be a parenting class. Lord willing, pray for this. I've got it ready. I want to start the class this summer, a parenting class. 3rd would be a family class, a class on pulling a family together, having a family devoted to the Lord, building family time, strengthening families, building up communication in families, just a general class for family strength. Another one would be how to budget and use money within the home, budgeted and practically used for the Lord. There's so many getting themselves in debt up to here and beyond. Our society is a debt-filled society, and we need to be helping families to be able to manage money, etc., etc. We could do one class, and then the other, and then the other, and then the other, and then the one, and then the other, and then the other, and then the other, and put a sign out on the street. I imagine that day we'll have a sign out on the street. Parenting class, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, 1 hour, free, whatever you want to say. And when that's done, we have a marriage class. When that's done, we have a family class. When that's done, we have just available to the community. It's badly needed. It's badly needed. We have a book at home, a catalog no less, that reads, "It's better to build children than to repair men." It's better to build children than to repair men. It's on the cover of the catalog of buying quality literature for your children. There's so many practical things you can do. There's so many ways you can encourage and grow and teach and take that responsibility. But unfortunately, we are losing and maybe have lost that generational connection, where children naturally learned how to parent from parents who saw how to parent from their parents, from parents who saw how to parent from their parents. The parents are being pulled out of the home. The children are being scattered in different directions. And they grow up and they find their parents and they say, "How do you do this stuff anyway?" We need to slow down, pull ourselves together, and teach ourselves how to have strong marriages and how to be parents for God. It's in His Word. It's taught to us to take care of. Deuteronomy chapter 4, this warning given to Israel, "Only be careful," verse 9, "and watch yourselves closely that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." The word of the Lord, the standards of faith are to be taught by parents to their children. The church is a community to distribute the gospel and build up one another. The primary place to learn the Bible is at home, not here, at church. And it's a joy to learn. Teach it to one another. Read it to one another. Enjoy it with one another. It is an exciting thing to do, to look at our Father God and understand Him as Father, to appreciate Him as Father, and Jesus Christ as brother. But we understand and see those things as He has given us families to do that in. So let us build and encourage families. Last Sunday morning, Bill Williams encouraged the men to turn their hearts back to the children. He wasn't just talking about your own children, by the way, men. He was talking about turning your hearts to the children you touch in every direction around you, because they all need it. Whether you're their dad, or you're just mentoring them, or you're encouraging them, they need it. They need to see men turn their hearts and pay attention to them. It parallels exactly with the way God has kept His heart turned toward us. Let's grow our families. Let's encourage our families. Let's help build families. And please, let's pray for the work of this church, that we can be reaching out to ourselves and to the community to have families built for God. If you haven't yet made a decision to be baptized into Christ or to follow Him, we ask if you're ready to do that this morning, that your walk and your choice can be as Joshua did, that you will serve the Lord. If you have any other needs that we can help you with, whatever your need be, come, let us know what it is by coming forward.